There wasn't a person in the county who didn't know the Beamans lived their lives according to their own rules. Set foot on their property? A shotgun ruled the conversation. So when both brothers turned up dead, the family promised whoever did it shouldn't live to see another day. They'd see to it. That was right after they heard about the boys' untimely demise. A few days later, however, remaining family members began to wonder if their passing were a blessing. "Now," their mother whispered to her husband at the wake, "we can sell this godforsaken place and be done with it." The problem was Grandma Hattie overheard, quickly promising she'd never disgrace the name of her ancestors by selling. Besides, her great-grandsons wanted to keep the ranch in the family, as did her husband. The conflict, though, was turning out to be a fight she might not win. With 3 funerals in a year's time, she was losing her desire to wage battle with those younger than she. But why should she sell? She was sitting on one of the most prime pieces of property in eastern Wyoming. Slightly larger than Harry's ranch, there was little doubt as to the land's viability when it came to natural resources, a situation she always considered money in the bank. No, Hattie Beaman, so named after her grandmother, wasn't about to sell. Ever. "Call my attorney, Ann Colby. Watch it," the sheriff warned as he protected Harry's head with his hand and then closed the door. Evelyn stood at the base of the porch steps, tears streaming. She waved and nodded emphatically, letting Harry know she heard him. "I'll call right now." He didn't hear. Within moments, he was gone, the sheriff's SUV plowing through remnants of deep snow. Evelyn hightailed it to the landline in the kitchen, quickly leafing through their address book for Andy Harrelin's number. He represented Harry for the last 30 years, but not for something so serious. A murder charge? It seemed impossible, until Evelyn realized she was standing in their kitchen alone, and she didn't know if Harry would ever be home for dinner. She dialed. "Andy, it's Evelyn." 20 minutes later, she hung up with the assurance Andy would bail Harry out as soon as he could. Unfortunately, it was late on Friday afternoon, and Andy couldn't make any promises. Chances were good Harry would enjoy the hospitality of the county jail at least until Monday morning. Next, Colby. Evelyn lucked out. Colby had just turned her cell back on as she and Brian left the library. "Colby?" Instantly, Colby was aware something was wrong. "Evelyn? What happened?" A soft sob. "The sheriff arrested Harry." "Arrested? When?" She glanced at Brian. "About 30 minutes ago. I called his lawyer as soon as they pulled away." "Good. You did the right thing. Did the sheriff tell him the charge?" Colby waited while Evelyn blew her nose. "First-degree murder." "What? Are you sure?" Colby couldn't believe what she was hearing. If the Beaman brothers' murders were only 2 months ago, was that enough time to bring a case against Harry? Colby doubted it. "I'm sure," Andy said. "He'll get Harry out on bail as soon as he can. But that might not be until Monday morning." Another sob caught in Evelyn's throat. Colby thought for a minute, certain there was nothing she could do. "It's late. I can't do anything until there's an arraignment hearing. That's when Harry will be formally charged, and his attorney may be able to post bond." "What do you mean, may?" "The judge may decide because of the seriousness of the charge. There will be no bail." "What?" Colby hated hearing the anguish in her aunt's voice. "I know, the situation sucks. Let's hope the judge grants Harry bail and he can be out at the beginning of the week." "What if he doesn't?" "Well, we'll deal with it." Colby glanced at Brian, motioning for him to start the car. "We'll be back within the hour." "Hurry, Colby. Please hurry."